received from Martin Luther or John Wesley, why they called that stuff holy rollers and everything else.
Well, I can tell by hearing from the back that some people sound like they were glad to be here. And so we're not going to sing anymore, brother. I wanted to say thank you to everybody that kept sending in their tithing and offerings. Expenses didn't stop just because we weren't here. Our mortgage I want to read off some figures here that's from the beginning of April, which our last service here was March 22nd. So from the beginning of April to the end of November, we paid out $5,780.56 on mortgage. Our insurance is $1,967. The electric was $1,074.84. You say, well, we weren't here. How in the world was it using electric? It uses electric. We got to cool and heat this place still. Otherwise, the instruments and everything else will get damaged. And so the electric was $1,074.84. The gas was $996.65. Water was $135.56. And then solid waste, I don't know what exactly that is. I don't know if it's sewage or what, but it's $80. Then we had the church power washed on the outside. And we just had that done here just before the weather broke. And that cost us $1,008.44. So our total expenses from beginning of April to the end of November was $11,043.05. What we had come in was $13,485. So that left us with the balance of $2,441.95 after we paid everything. So I just want to say again, thank you for continuing to support it. And thank you for continuing to support me. And it shows that you had a lot of confidence in me and in my leadership. And I know things are a lot different. This might have seemed a little bit confusing for you when you walked in, saw all this blue tape and everything. But we're creatures of habit. And if I would have just let you, you'd have just gravitated to where you normally sit, whether it was 6 foot apart or not. And I wanted to, we've got the room to have social distancing, so I think it's a smart thing to do. If we had a lot more people, then we would have had to have done maybe just a little bit differently. Might not have been able to have as much social distancing, but we don't have more people. This is it. And I know that wearing the mask, you know, I put a shield up here on the podium, but I know wearing a mask is not the thing you like to do. Nobody likes to do it, probably, in that. But I can tell you this, if you're going out in public and you're going around here and there and everywhere and Walmart and everything else and you're not wearing a mask, it's like playing a game of chance with a rattlesnake. If you fool around with this virus, it's like playing a game of chance with a rattlesnake. Sooner or later, you're going to get bit. And I have found that people over time have become complacent with this virus. Especially if it ain't touched nobody they know or ain't touched them. And they, well, I went here and I went there and I ain't ever got it yet and everything else. Just keep it up. Keep it up. Sooner or later, I've waited on some people that have said that. I've waited on them to catch it. Because I'm going to tell you something, that's not smart thinking. And I'm going to preach to you today on real faith. So I'm going to start off by telling you, well, I go here and I go there without a mask and I ain't afraid of anything else. That ain't faith. And I'll prove it to you today by the word and by the end time message. That's being foolish. You need to be wise about these things. And as a church, you know, if you go out here and there and everywhere and you end up getting COVID and die, that's not on me. That's on you. But if you come in here and I just let things go willy-nilly and haphazardly and you get COVID and die, then it's on me. See, you responsible for you. I'm responsible for you too. I'm responsible for all of you. I'm responsible for the care of this church. And I know I've got people here that got diabetes, and you might say, well, diabetes, what's that do? Well, they said it's high risk because one of the things COVID can attack is your kidneys, and that's the worst thing to have attacked if you got diabetes. If you got high blood pressure, you're at a danger. You got heart problems, you're at a danger. You got shortness of breath, you get it, you're sure going to die. If you got something wrong with you where you're short of breath, well, that's one of the things COVID causes is shortness of breath. So if you're already short, where are you going to go? So I've tried to be wise about this thing. And if you're old, you're at high risk. Now, I know we've got some in here, a lot of them younger than me, but there's quite a few of y'all that's older than I am. And I'm having a birthday today. And just turned 58 today. But there's a lot in here that's a lot older than me. And some of you is pushing toward 80. You're at a risk. You get it. You're at high risk simply because of your age. Then we've had two new babies born since the last time we met. And babies are at a high risk danger. And I didn't want no babies catching this thing. And little children, you know, there's been so much in the news about the things that's been said saying, well, you know, if you're young, you'll be okay, you'll make it through it. If you're this, you'll be okay and you make it through it. And then the next thing you do, you read a headline that says just the opposite. And the same people went back and retracted what they said before and said, no, it's a danger now. And so, and there's been a lot of people who thought this was just a political thing. It was just something to get against Trump. Let me tell you something. People are not dying of political stuff. Brother Ron Spencer had a deacon that caught COVID and died. There were several believers down in Central America that caught COVID and died. Don't say I ain't got COVID because I got faith. Because then you're telling me none of those people had faith. My own father-in-law caught COVID. The church up in Ohio's went along pretty good without catching COVID up until something happened. And you know how they got COVID through the church? From somebody who doesn't even attend there. This person that does attend got around somebody who doesn't attend, caught the COVID from them and brought it into the church. And so that can happen here. I don't know who all y'all go around and what you do, and I'm not going to tell you not to go around people. I don't know who all you go around. I don't know what all your plans are for these coming up holidays. I waited. I planned on opening the church up here in December, but I waited 14 days past Thanksgiving. So in case y'all had been around somebody that had COVID, you'd already know you had it before we had service. And I'm going to have service today and next Sunday on the 20th, and then we're not going to have service for 2 weeks. And then we'll come back here on January 10th, which will be 14 days after New Year's. Because I'm not going to tell you don't get around family during the holidays, because I know you're going to want to. And you're going to want to get around different people. And, you know, it's on you what you practice and what you do. And I'm not going to tell you what to do, what not to do. But I want to try to keep the church as safe as I can. And so that's why, you know, the thing you say, well, I would do it this way or I would do it that way. Well, guess what? Not your job. It's my job. So, you know, you say, well, I feel led to do this. I can tell you this, if you feel led to do anything other than what I feel led to do, you're being led by the wrong spirit. Either that or you believe I am. God don't lead the church. We're not a seven-headed church. We got one head, that's Christ. And he leads the church through the pastor. You say, well, I got to lead and do this, or I got to lead into that. You better watch your leadings. I find a lot of times people's leadings is actually just their desire. It's what they want to do. It's what they think. It's their opinion. And I'm not doing these things based on my opinion. I've got a calendar at home where I've watched the numbers every day of Tennessee. I've watched the numbers of Dixon. And I've also watched a lot of other things. I'm driving down the road, I see Colton's, you know, restaurant out there by the interstate. I've seen its parking lot packed. Ain't no way they're doing social distancing in that restaurant. They couldn't be. Nobody waiting outside in the parking lot's packed. Same thing with old Charlie's. Same thing with a lot of them. That pizza place down here downtown that a lot of people like, they weren't practicing social distancing. They got tables sitting, people sitting right up on top of one another. And that's been going on for some time. So I can see from the things that I've watched around Dixon that a lot of folks around Dixon have become complacent with this thing. You go around places, you go in Walmart, you know, and you see a lot of people walk around there and they ain't got no mask on. And they don't care how close they get to somebody. Well, they're going to, sooner or later, that rattlesnake's going to bite them. Now, I'm saying these things because if people, you know, if they haven't had somebody in their own family get this thing, and it ain't come close to them, then they get to think, well, you know, everything's fine. I ain't going to get this thing. I know a man that when this all started, there was a man that said, he quoted the Bible and said, that the plague shall not come nigh thee. He ended up getting COVID. So, that was a good thought, and it was mental faith, but it wasn't real genuine God faith. This virus is no respect of person. It don't care who you are or what you believe. And this is not the first pandemic to hit the United States. Back before anybody here was ever alive, back in the early 1900s, they had the Spanish flu. And it was a great pandemic that spread across the United States. And then as it started to dwindle down, some people become complacent with it, and they had a big old parade. And guess what? A bunch of people caught it again. And believe it or not, the Spanish flu is still around, just ain't really nobody hearing about catching it no more. I believe eventually this thing will get to where it'll become like the Spanish flu and it'll be a thing of the past. That, you know, but the only way it's going to do that is if people are wise about it. Because it's not somebody else's place to stop the spread of this virus. It's your place. It's everybody's place. And I can't tell you what to do once you leave out of here. You know, I would suggest to you, I know you're happy to see one another again, but I would suggest to you that you refrain from shaking hands and hugging necks. You know, that's my suggestion. I ain't got no control what you do outside these doors. You know, you do as you see fit, I guess. But my suggestion is that you keep practicing social distancing when you go out in the parking lot and you're leaving in your cars and so on. Because you don't know who's been around what. And I care about y'all. And you might have thought that I forgot about you, but I ain't forgot about none of you. I care about you, and I know pretty much the diseases everybody in this place suffers from. If you suffer from anything. If you don't, if you're like Brother Phil, you don't suffer from any diseases, live alone, then you're probably good to go. Brother Phil's a strong individual, still running marathons, I guess. So he's in real good shape, and God's really blessed him. But that don't mean he can't catch this. And I thank God that he's really blessed Brother Phil, because in blessing Brother Phil, he's blessed me. I'm thankful to have Brother Phil. And there's some churches that's bigger than this church. Like my brother's church is a lot bigger than this church. He got a lot more people. But guess what he does not have? An associate preacher. He's all by himself. Now, I'm glad that I got an associate. It has really been a blessing to me over the years. It doesn't bother me to take a seat and hear him preach. That don't bother me at all. I love to hear him preach. I've been thankful that we've got him here. So I just want to say, keep in mind these things about this. And I'm sorry this looked like a maze when you come in here, but I was trying to think through this my first thought was I'd just mark off every couple of pews, and just let you go, whatever. And I figured out real soon that wasn't going to work, because we'd run out of pews that way. But I got your well-being in mind. That's why I've done all this. Why I'm asking you to wear the mask, why I put this plexiglass up here and all. For right now, we're not going to have special songs for right yet. We'll just see as we feel that as we go forward, okay? I'd like you to continue to, if you would, to mail in your tithe and offerings, because I'm not going to pass the plate in here right now. So if I start passing the plate, it's going to do away with social distancing. Somebody's got to get closer to you than what they should. And you got to get closer to them than what you should. So I'm not going to pass the plate. I appreciate how y'all done. You've been real good about it. Like I said, the offerings and things that's come in has been real good. The tithing's been real good. And it's took care of our needs. And I appreciate that. I really do. And y'all to be commended for it. And not forgetting, that portion of what to do. Amen. Let's just stand and go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, dear God, to be here this morning, and we're thankful for, Lord, your mercies, dear God, and I'm thankful, dear God, for those, Lord, that are members of this assembly, Lord, that we have stayed rather clear from the virus, dear God, just a couple catching it, Lord, but you, Lord, watched over them and kept them, dear God, and Lord, they never even ended up having any symptoms, and that was a blessing. And we ask, dear God, you continue to be with us, Lord. Ask, Lord, for you guide us in the word now as we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I want to read one verse of scripture, which you all are all familiar with. It's found in Hebrews 11. We've many times have preached on this verse, and I've heard many other preachers preach on this verse, but I just felt drawn to it and drawn to this subject and have been studying on it, and trust the Lord will help me to get out of the way. You know, Brother Branham said, the preacher, that's what the gift really is being able to yield to God for him to be able to come and speak. It's not some magical thing. It's not some great thing. I'm not Superman. But just being able to yield to the Lord to let him come and speak. So now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may be seated. Now, a lot of folks, Brother Branham said, think they've got faith, but really what they've got is a mental faith. A mental faith is positive thinking. All right? And there's a lot of people, worldly people, that believe in positive thinking. And they believe that their positive thinking creates positive things around them. And there are a lot of people that claim to have faith, Brother Branham said, that end up what they've got is hope. You know, faith. Let me scroll up through here. Faith is defined. Hope, faith and hope are totally different. Brother Branham said they're as different from night as from day. Faith is defined as a confidence or trust in a person or thing or a belief not based on earthly things. Hope is the optimistic attitude of mind based on expectation or desire. So it's positive thinking. Mental faith or hope is positive thinking. And people will say, well, I believe this. I believe that God's been with me, and so I'm safe from this thing, you know, and I just believe that. There was a brother one time that never got sick. He said, he would say, my faith keeps that sicknesses and stuff from me. Never had the flu, never had a cold, never had sinus infection, never had any kind of thing like that whatsoever, never was sick a day in his life. And he made the statement, said, my faith keeps that stuff from me. He died from cancer. So based on his own thought, that would have meant he didn't have enough faith for cancer. But that's not the truth. He was just had a wrong perception of it. And I don't want to get into the word perception because I want to preach on that coming up. But he did not have the right thought on it. You know, what he should have said was, the mercies of God have kept me from getting sick. You know, because when you say my faith, then you're pointing at yourself. And I'm going to tell you something, your human faith ain't worth 2 cents. Mine ain't either. And Brother Branham said that he was a representation of the faith that we're supposed to have. And he said that when that anointing was off of him, he said, my faith's weak too. And that was the prophet. So, and you know, I know I'm just telling you these things, but I got all this down in front of me. So if you don't believe you said it, just, you know, I can email or text it to you where it's at. And you can hear it for yourself. But he said, when this is off of me, my faith's weak too. So how does our faith get strong? It takes God's faith in you. Not something that's made up, not an imagination. Brother Bram said a lot of times people get worked up in an emotion. And because they're really feeling it, they think they got faith. But all they are is just worked up in an emotion. Faith is positive, but it's not just positive thinking. Faith, Brother Bram says, is a revelation. It's something that's been revealed to you. It is a substance. It is something that supernaturally you can get a hold of. We hope for a lot of things, but how much do we have faith for? Now, nowhere in the Bible did it ever say that hope brought on a miracle from the Lord. No miracle that Jesus ever performed when he raised Lazarus from the dead, it wasn't by hope. When he fed the multitude, he didn't feed them by hope. So was it Jesus' faith? Oh, here we go on the Godhead now. He said, I do nothing except I see my Father do it first. So he did nothing unless he saw it by vision. It was the Father's faith in Jesus. It was God's faith in Jesus. We know Jesus was God, but he also was a man. And it was not his, look friends, do you know what his human faith produced? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He had to have part of him that was man, or the scripture's wrong, that he's not been tested and tempted in every way such as known to man. The only way it could be is he had to be man. He had to come down to be made, as the Bible says, a little lower than the angels and become one of us. And there's times that we get weak and we need help, we need strength. And that's one of the reasons we've got a Bible. It's also one of the reasons we've got prayer. So the Lord can give you strength. I've went through some things since I've been here. I've went through things that, one thing I'm thinking of just here right now, something I went through, really didn't have anything to do with this church per se, but I went through something of a family member and some things, and man, I tell you what, it drug out and drug out and drug out, and we were in and out of court I don't know how many times. Because one of my family members had been falsely accused of something. And we prayed. And I can tell you, when I started out praying, I wanted the Lord to come in and just fix that thing right off and let's be done with it. Because it was a worry. And there was fear that went along with it. But you know what the Lord done? He let me suffer with it long. I suffered with it a long time. Me and my wife, family, we had to endure. And God had a way. God didn't want it just to go away. God wanted to prove my family member completely innocent in court. And so that's what happened. And I thank God for it. And I had no idea how God was going to do it, but I knew. I'll tell you this. You say, did you try anything, Brother Jerry? You betcha. You betcha I did. Because that's just how I am. I want to try to fix things if I can. That's kind of like my human nature. But I have run into some things that I can't fix. Things has gone beyond my control. There's things y'all have that I can't fix. I've tried. It's going to take God to fix it. But I believe that if you're going to make it in this rapture, God's going to have to fix it. He's going to have to fix what's wrong with us. You know, we've each got our weaknesses. We've each got our downfalls. We got our faults. You know, I think one of the problems we have is the Bible says confess your faults. And I think that our problem is a lot of people deny their faults. They're in denial. They won't admit they've got that fault. I believe if you ever admit it and confess it, that thing's out from under the cover and the devil's exposed and you can get free. Just people will, sometimes, you know, you hear people say, the doctor maybe, give them a diagnosis. And they'll say, well, I'm just going to not claim that. I'm not going to believe I got that. You know, ain't no way I'm going to claim that. And a lot of people quote Brother Jewel Forney. And I'm going to tell you this, a lot of folks quote him wrong. They quote him with the wrong thought in mind. You know, he says that about, you know, if somebody comes to deliver you a box of rattlesnakes, are you going to accept it? Now, a lot of people take him wrong on how he's saying that. And the thing is, you say, well, the doctor said I got cancer. No, I'm not going to accept that. I don't have cancer. Well, there was a person that come before Brother Branham. And Brother Branham was talking to him, and he says, you got cancer. Then he caught something. He says, you don't believe you got cancer. Now, see, he used the word believe. Don't mistake that with faith. He said, you don't believe you got cancer, but you do. But God can heal you. Now, that's where faith comes in. Just saying, I'm not going to claim that. That's positive thinking. That's mental faith. But to believe God can heal you from it, you know, then you just claim that. Now, what if you continue to go through life and you continue to deal with this disease? I got an uncle. He's passed away now. I've mentioned him from this pulpit. Y'all have prayed for him many times. My uncle in West Virginia, where he lived at. And I go there to visit my aunt every year. And but he was a preacher. And he got diagnosed with cancer. Let's see now, about 20, about 22 years ago, he got diagnosed with cancer, I think it was. And he lived 16 years after he was diagnosed with cancer. And he would get prayed for. They'd go in and do surgery, and they'd get the tumor out, and they would test him and stuff, said, well, you're cancer free. And they would praise God for healing him, and then he'd come back. And he'd get prayed for again, and the cancer would leave. And then he'd come back, and he did that for 16 years until it finally took his life. But you know what? He never one time said anything about against God concerning it. What if you go through life that, you know, listen. If you search the message and go through, you will find where Brother Branham called out people that had diabetes and said, you're healed. You might go through life with diabetes your whole life and have it until you leave here. But does that mean you don't have faith? No. God, anything that's a disease that comes on us has to be because God allowed it. And if God allows it, he's got a reason for it. He didn't just do it just on a whim. You know, and it didn't just accidentally get by him. I'll tell you this, if you eat without praying over your food, you're in dangerous territory. Because the food we eat ain't no count. You can become a vegetarian or a vegan or whatever else and say, well, I'm not going to eat hot dogs and I'm not going to eat meat or all these things or whatever, or maybe I'll just eat fish and all this. And you can, and if you ain't praying over your food, you're still in danger. They say fish is one of the best meats for you. Not if you're catching them out of Lake Erie. They end up getting mercury in their fish. In some areas, I think they've dealt with that by now. But for a while there, they were telling people, don't eat no fish out of this lake. So, you know, the Bible tells us we need to pray, give thanks and pray over everything we eat. And everything we do, we should do it in the name of Jesus. And if you can't do it in Jesus' name, then you oughtn't to be doing it. If you can't say something bad against somebody in Jesus' name, then guess what? You shouldn't be saying it. We've had that in this church. This one say something bad against it, and have to reply back to that one, and everything else. And well, I'll push your button. Well, I'll push your button. If you're pushing somebody's button and you ain't doing it in Jesus' name, you better quit. I'm gonna tell you this: ain't no way you can do that in Jesus' name. Let me say it this way. But that's because we deal with this old enemy of ours, this flesh. Buddy, does it like to rise up. You know, when somebody says something against you, this old flesh wants to get its hackles up. Well, I'll show you. And come back, you know. But that's not the Christian thing to do. And you know, I've said this for years, but we need to look at the big picture of things. Many times we get this tunnel vision, just the right here and now, in our life, and what is emotionally affecting us right then at that point. And we don't look at the big picture. And part of the big picture is this. Look around you. Because that's who you're going to be spending eternity with. And if you're having trouble spending time with them now, then something's going to have to change between now and then. Amen. Because we're going to be spending eternity with one another, and it ain't going to be one of these things where you're walking through eternity and you look over and see Brother So-and-so, and go, got to avoid him. I ain't talking to him. No, there ain't going to be nothing like that there. Because the prophet, when he went beyond the curtain of time, that angel spoke to him and said, only perfect love can enter here. We've got to have perfect love. And the only way you get perfect love is by allowing God's love to come into your heart. You can't do it with your human love. Your human, friends, your human love comes from your gate of affection. Do you know what else comes from your gate of affection? Hate. Hate is just a lesser form of love. It's just going down the same diagram, but just on the opposite spectrum of it. Brother Bram says you cannot be healed by mental faith. It's got to be real faith. If you've got something, a spirit or a leading that's contrary to the word of God, then you better get away from that spirit. I've known people to say, well, I feel led of God to do this or that. Is it against God's word? I've heard people tell me, I feel led to send my tithing to Jeffersonville. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's against God's word. You want to send something to Jeffersonville? You want to send something up to the voice of God? Reach in your pocket, not in God's. You see, what I was taught was that a tenth of what you got belonged to God. That's what I was taught. So you're not paying anything. It wasn't yours to begin with. Whatever you got, God blessed you with. Then people get worried. Well, I worry about what's being done with my tithe. It ain't yours. And the only way you got to answer for it is if you don't give it according to the word. If you don't give it according to the word, then you're going to have to answer for it. Faith has got to be an absolute. You've got to know absolutely. It can't be a maybe or hope so or I'm, you know, faith says something's going to happen. Hope says that it may happen in the future. Brother Bram says in ministry explained, he says, I find many people come to faith in a kind of haphazard way. If you'll excuse the expression, kind of like maybe a guessing at it. And 90% of the people that comes in the prayer line have hope instead of faith. Another message, experiences, he says, 999 out of 1,000 that passes through this prayer line don't know the first principle of faith. They have hope instead of faith. Faith is positive. He says a lot of people are just built up in hopes and they think they got faith. My dad, in 1993, my dad suffered a major stroke. And it went down the right side of his body. And he couldn't use his right hand. He couldn't speak good. It affected his speech. It affected his being able to walk and stand. And, you know, I went up every day. I went up to the hospital to help him. And I took care of the church while he was out. And every day I went up there, And you know, when it first started out, it was very, very frustrating for my father. He'd get really frustrated with it because, you know, your mind says right arm move, but right arm ain't moving. And he couldn't make it move. Couldn't make it move right. It was like a little newborn is. When they're born, you know, they ain't got no control over those things. They'll hit themselves in their eye. They'll scratch themselves if you ain't careful. Because they ain't really got no control over it. And that's what it was. He'd lost control over them. But he was laying up there one evening by himself. Everybody had went home that night. And he said he got to singing that song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Of course, you know, he was doing a lot of the singing in his mind. He couldn't really get it out through his lips. But he said he was singing, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Why on others that are passing, do not pass me by." And he went to sleep. And when he went to sleep, he had a dream. And in that dream, he come to a door. And when he opened that door and walked through it, on the other side, he was completely whole. And after that dream, he said, "God is going to heal me from this 100%. I know it." The doctors and the physical therapists worked with him. You know, they told him, well, you know, sometimes people that's had as bad as you can come back about 70%. My dad would say, "Nope, I'm coming back 100%. Now, he still went to physical therapy. He still went through all the exercises and everything. They had him go through to walking and exercise with his arm, different things like that. He'd done everything they instructed him to do. Because, and I know this because I took him up there and went with him and sat with him. And he still did all those things. He didn't say, "Well, God's going to heal me. I don't got to do nothing." No, he still did all those things. But he believed because God had showed him that he was going to be 100% whole, then he believed God was going to restore him 100%. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. It didn't happen immediately. It didn't happen overnight. But God did restore him 100%. Use that's met him after that time would have never known he ever had a stroke. God healed him 100%. But it's because he had real faith because God had showed him that it was going to be 100%. It wasn't just positive thinking. Well, I'm a believer and I'm a preacher and I'm a pastor. And because I'm a pastor, because God's called me, then I know God's going to have to restore me so I can continue to pastor that church. No, it wasn't that kind of thinking. That all sounds good. It sounds reasonable. But it's just mental thinking is all it is. And you cannot get very far, Brother Bram said, with your human faith. It will not take you very far. Not only that, but we're going to have a greater faith, Brother Branham said, than any other age has ever had. Now I think about down through the ages, I've read the church age book, and I've read the things about it, and I've read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I went through these things, and I think about the faith they had to have to stand, and Brother Branham said, this age is going to have a greater faith than any other age has ever had. He said, because you've got to have a faith to be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye and be raptured out of here. And he said, only rapturing faith can do that. And rapturing faith only comes from God. It ain't nothing you can put on. It ain't nothing you can make up. It's nothing you can build up.
It has to be God in your heart, and that faith is God's faith coming forth from you, not something of yourself. So that's why I said we got to have a greater faith than any other age. Think about it. The faith to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. And he said, you look and you think, well, if I ain't got that faith, I ain't going. You're right. Well, you might think, well, brother, I don't know if I got that much faith. Brother Branham said this. He said, don't worry. You will have it. Because it'll be God in you. Don't worry. You will have it when the time comes. But we can't go doing a put on something. Forgive me, I ain't spoke this much in quite a while. I'm getting dry. Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962, Brother Bam said, let me lay on that foundation for a while. It's got to be faith. Now, faith is what you must believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's you already have it when you have faith because it's revealed in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, see, the evidence. What is it? What kind of evidence? A holy evidence. It's a holy evidence. Now, you might have hope and just keep dodging this and dodging that. But when you got faith, you know it because it's an evidence. In the midst of experiences, he had a brother play something on the piano, and he said, you hear that. He said, it's music. And you know it is because you hear it. You don't see it, but you hear it. He said, you can't see music, can you? You can't taste music. You can't feel music, but how do you know it's music? You hear it. Well, brother, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear, but you know it. That's why I gave that example about my father. He knew. It wasn't positive thinking. It wasn't a hope so. He knew God was going to restore him 100% there. Then he had faith that had been given to him from God. He wasn't dependent on his own faith. This was faith that had been given to him by God. He knew 100% he was going to be restored. And it happened. He said, God's got a provided way that he must bring believers to a rapturing faith. God's way, his provided way to bring believers to a rapturing faith. How many knows what God's provided way is to bring people to a rapturing faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's how that faith that God will bring us to that rapturing faith. How has, you look over the last 20 years and see changes that's happened in your life. Changes that's happened in your stance. Maybe the way that you look at things. And see how many of those things has been changed because of the preaching of the word that's went forth from here for over the last 22 years. It ain't because of me.
Because, friends, if I just came up here and said, well, now, Jerry, you're a pretty good speaker. And you can just go up there and just rattle off some things. And, you know, once you put some stuff together, you know, and give a pretty good speech. You know how far that'd go? It wouldn't go no further than this podium. It wouldn't do you a bit of good. But when it's the voice of God that comes down through, and that man that's in the pulpit yields himself to the Holy Spirit and allows the Holy Spirit to speak, then that does something to you that is eternal. So it came from God. It didn't come from Jerry Browning or Phil Bontrager. It came from God speaking through them. And it makes a change in you. Brother Branham said, when the seals opened, the Bible became a whole new Bible to him. Why? Prior to the opening of the seals, Brother Branham was studying what other men had said concerning the things of the book of Revelations. It's a fact. He was studying the writings of other men, what they had to say about the book of Revelations, what this meant and what that meant and what the other meant. But when the angel of the Lord came down, and in every service, when Brother Branham was preaching the seals, he would preach about, I don't know, almost an hour or so, 40 minutes to an hour, and then he'd say, now when the angel comes and opens the book, when the Lamb comes and opens the book, and then all of a sudden here would come forth that seal, what laid under there. Who was opening them seals? It was not William Branham. It was the Lamb of God, who was the only one worthy to take the book and loose the seals thereof. And when the Lamb came, then the seal would come forth, what lay under that seal. That's why it became a whole new Bible to him. Because it opened up his eyes to what was really there instead of what other men were saying. There's a lot of you, if you really looked at it and was honest, when you came to this message and really finally believed it, it changed the Bible for you. It changed your whole ideal of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there, you know, they believe in sweet Jesus. You know, God was, he was real terrible in the Old Testament, you know, but he got saved in the New Testament. And he become a lot kinder to people. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Told them they were full of dead men's bones, the Pharisees. Sweet Jesus got his righteous indignation up, took the time. Now think about this. He took the time to sit down and weave a whip. He didn't just look around and grab and say, oh, here, this person's got a whip, I think I'll use it. He sat down, took the time. Now you think about him taking the time, Brother Gene, to sit there and weave that whip and look around at what they were doing. Them money changers and them selling them lambs and everything they were doing, you know, and that him weaving that whip and just looking at them. Knowing all along what he was going to do once he got that whip weaved together. And then he overturned their tables. Sweet Jesus. And took that whip and chased them out of the temple. And said, my house is to be a house of prayer, and you've made a den of thieves. That was sweet Jesus. My. Sweet Jesus. You know. He went down there. A man come up there, was full of a legion of devils. And he delivered that man from those devils. And you think that town would have come up there and been thankful? No, sir. They come up there and said, you need to leave our shores. You need to get out of here. Because sweet Jesus let it destroy their economy. Ran them hogs right off into the sea. So how do we hear the word of God? Except there be a preacher, the Bible says. And it says, and except they be sent. I've been here 22 years. This past November the 1st made 22 years I've been here. If you, in all this time, are still wondering whether God sent me here or not, then you're in a bad shape. Because once you accept the fact that God sent me here, then you'll accept my leadership. Brother Branham says there are times when he says the pastor's like a general. And there's times that he'll give orders or say things should be done a certain way and you won't understand it. He said, but do it anyhow because God's leading him. Another place he says, stay with your pastor. He's ordained of God to see you through. Now, I'm not saying these things to lift myself up or point fingers at myself. But friends, after 22 years, if I'm doubting now whether God sent me here or not, not only am I in bad shape, you're in bad shape. I didn't come here with mental faith. I didn't come here hoping. God showed me beyond a shadow of doubt that I was to come here. And a little over 22 years ago, God spoke to me when the office used to be over here in where we got the vestibule now. He spoke to me in there and he says, the church I showed you in the dream, it's this church. Now, my human way of thinking, I'll be honest with you. When God spoke to me in that room and said that, I said, oh, God, please no. Because I'd already preached one service here, and I thought, man, this is the most depressed church I've ever come to in my life. But I went back home. And David had come to me in the back room when I was here that time. And he said, people say I'm a liar. And he said, and I lie. And sometimes I lie so much I believe my own lies. He said, some people tell me what I need to do is get baptized. What do you say? And I said, you'll go down a dry center and come up a wet one. That water ain't going to change you. I said, it'll take God to change you. And he said, when you go home, will you remember me in prayer? And I said, yes, I will. And I was actually kneeling beside my bed one morning, and I was praying, and I started praying for David. And the Lord spoke to me. And I'll tell you what, friends, I never knew when we were going through some things with David here a few years back, I never knew how in the world it was going to turn out. All I was doing was following what God told me to do. But I still knew that God had told me I'd give you that soul. And I still believe that because God told me that. I didn't know how it was going to come out, or how that was going to work around to be. Because he looked like he wasn't going to bend or bow to the Lord for a while there. But you know what God did? God knows us. He knows how to get our attention. He knows what we need to go through to get us to the place and point to where he can deal with us. God took everything David thought he had. And you know what he felt? He felt alone. And you know what kept ringing through his mind? Was a Christmas message that I had preached on Scrooge. And he said, I don't want to become alone like that. And God kept working on him until he got him around to a place to where he would eventually listen to God and want to be delivered. But God spoke to me then and told me this was the church that he had showed me in a dream. In the dream, he showed me a white building made of block and told me I was the pastor of that church. And then he spoke to me and said, that church in Dixon is the one. And there was many scriptures the Lord gave me. I preached a message here years and years and years ago and showed you all the scriptures that the Lord gave me on that. So when I came here, I knew God was going to do things. I knew there was going to be some positive things happen. I knew there was going to be some eternal things happen. And friends, there has been. Lives have been changed. People have received the Holy Ghost. People have been set free. People's been delivered. Some of them have been delivered from hellish demons, and others have been delivered from family demons. But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, David comes to me. I was living at Brother Phil's there for a while, staying there until I could get a place, and I was staying there just me and Brother Phil, and David would come over now and then, you know, and he said, you keep preaching the way you preach. He says, look, they beat preachers up around here. And I said, well, anybody that comes against me, I said, I can't speak for anybody, any other preacher's been here before me, but I can speak for myself. I know God sent me here. If they come against me, they're coming against God. So God will fight my battles for me. Of course, wasn't it, what was that preacher's name? I can't remember. He was having a revival somewhere, and there was a bully in that town. And that bully was going down there, and he was going to disrupt that revival. And he was going to beat that preacher up. I wish I could remember his name right now. I can't remember recall his name. He's a well-known preacher from that time era. But that preacher just rolled up his sleeves, boy. And that guy waded into him, and that preacher beat him. And after he beat him up, he led him to God. And once he got that bully led to God, everybody else in that town turned to God. So God's got different ways of doing things, you know. And like one man said, I didn't know that was on the table. We can't just have faith of any age. We got to have a faith of this hour, friends. You can't have just a faith of the Pentecostal age. You can't get there on the faith that Martin Luther had. Martin Luther, only so much was revealed to him. Friends, he was just moved just a little bit from the Catholic Church. The move continued to go on from the further and further from what the Catholic teachings were after Martin Luther. Martin Luther only knowed as much as God showed him at that time. John Wesley only knew as much as God revealed to him up to that time. What Martin Luther was to preach was the just shall live by faith, and that's what he preached. And what John Wesley was to preach was sanctification through the blood, living a sanctified life. Now, we need all of that. But see, it's got to be that, and it's got to be more added to it. There was more faith added to John Wesley's age than what Martin Luther's age had. They took what Martin Luther had, the just shall live by faith, and God added more truth to it and more faith. A faith to help people live sanctified lives. Then we come to the Pentecostal age, Brother Branham calls it in some places. And there was a restoration of the gifts. It took more who moved on with God. And then God sent a prophet at the end of that Pentecostal age to come and introduce Jesus Christ again to the people and to bring a sealing of the Holy Ghost, to bring us to a stature of a perfect man. And we'll never get there on our own merits. It'll take God. But we need to receive the faith from this age, from this hour. And that's why it's going to take more faith than any other age has ever had, because it's the faith of this hour. We're living in the days of the rapture. I know we've been saying this. I've been saying this since I come here. But we have to be in a phase of the rapture. Because Brother Branham preached the message of the rapture and said, the rapture come to be a voice, a shout, and a trump. And we've already had two. We're waiting on the trump. We're in a cycle of it. That's looking at the big picture. That's not looking at our little human everyday life around us and how our feelings are. You know, well, I got my feelings hurt. Quit wearing your feelings on your shoulders. Little Rosalina, when her mommy or somebody would correct her, she'll say, "You hurt my feelings." It ain't about her feelings. It's about what's right and wrong. But to her, if you're telling her to do something she don't want to do, then you've hurt her feelings. Now, that's just a little four-year-old. How about us in our 50s and 60s and 70s? Well, you hurt my feelings, Brother Jerry. Brother Phil said that like that. That hurt my feelings. Why? Because it was correcting you? Brother Branham said, God's moving right on, bringing in the rapturing faith for his church. And that's right. So tonight, I represent that faith. He represented the faith that we're to have. And I believe that if God sent me here, gave me the faith to know that I was supposed to come here, gave me the faith to know that God was going to change people's lives, then I represent that faith to you. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. There's only one faith. He says this in Be Not Afraid, 1961. There's only one faith, and that's the faith of God, God's faith. Your human faith don't go very far, but God's faith in you makes you love everybody, makes me love everybody, That's what God's faith does to you. It makes you have the same feeling that Jesus did, because the Spirit of Christ is in you. Peter was asked how the mighty miracles had taken place upon the crippled one at the Gate of Beautiful. He explained it on this wise, and in his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man, in faith in Jesus' name, has made this man strong. Yea, the faith which was by Jesus hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, there it is, Jesus' name. Jesus' faith brought about the miracle. Peter did not claim it was his own human faith any more than he claimed it was his own name. He said it was Jesus' name used in faith, which from Jesus performed the great work. This faith is what the Lord was speaking about in Revelations 2 and 13. It was his faith. It was not faith in him, but it was his own faith that he had given to the believers. So in order to get out of here, you're going to have God's faith in you. Brother Branham said, in no age, I'm going to close, you can stand. He said, in no age was human faith ever enough. And he said, and it's not enough now. Amen. It's not something we work up. It's not positive thinking. It's not, well, I'm just not going to claim that. It's when God reveals something to you, and you know, beyond a shadow of doubt, this is going to be. Why did he say in the visions that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So that's God's provided channel. Through the preaching of the word. Now, I believe that. And I believe it also says, until we're no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's what God gave the fivefold ministry for. And it's to be edifying to us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Lord, we're thankful for this word that you've given us, Lord, and this instruction, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that may, Lord, you go with each one, Lord, as they go their way. May, dear God, that you would watch over them, continue to protect them, Father. I ask, God, that you, Lord, would have mercy upon us, God, and keep us free from this virus. Lord, but if anyone does catch it, I pray, Lord, that you will heal them, dear God. Lord, we don't want to lose anybody, Lord, Father. But we know that nevertheless, not our will, but thine be done. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. We thank you for this service. Amen.